When something bad happens, like Sandy, it can be hard to take your ears and eyes off it. Sometimes keeping informed is a good thing. We certainly appreciate you tuning in to WTOP and reading at WTOP.com. But sometimes it's too much stress. I got on Skype to talk about this with Eric Adams from Men's Health. Just how much coverage is healthy?
You become addicted to these images and these streams of information. I mean, it began for me back in September 11th, and it hasn't really changed. And during the storm this week, I was glued to the Twitter feed. And so we were curious about whether or not that's healthy and how much of that is a good thing and natural versus being excessive. And we talked to our experts, and the truth is that it really is perfectly normal. After that initial, it can't happen here, moment of horror, you probably also experience a confusing welter of emotions. One minute you're crying along with the father who's lost everything. The next moment you turn away with this gut surge of emotions about the victims. Why didn't they get out in time? Why didn't they leave? All that stuff. And that's perfectly natural and perfectly normal.
Beyond that, you suggest that it's a case of self-preservation, even though we may be listening to a radio, using a tablet to keep up on events or watching TV. You know, we're not in the middle of it rescuing people ourselves, and yet we feel like we're benefiting in some way.
Exactly. Paying attention to other people's disasters is actually a legitimate way of keeping the same things from happening to us. That's one reason we like thrillers and shark attack movies so much. And it may seem kind of weird to conflate Hurricane Sandy or Katrina or 9/11 with, you know, I Know What You Did Last Summer, but scary reality and scary fantasy both play on the same biological systems that have evolved to help us save our own skins.
What about using all of the information that we in the media put out to make sure you're not the next victim?
Yeah, psychologists call this instructed fear. And the explanation starts with the victims themselves. Let's say you narrowly escape the flooding in New Orleans or in New York City. Flashbulb memories of the event are probably imprinted on your brain. And if you subsequently encounter some hint of that experience later on, that reaction kicks in and puts you on alert before your conscious mind even suspects that anything is amiss. And what's surprising is that almost the same response occurs even in people who merely saw the devastation on television. So watching these events, these streams of information, the images, they have an impact on you that you don't necessarily appreciate at a conscious level.
Now, we don't ever want to generalize about men or women. I mean, some men cry, some women never cry, but it does seem that, very generally speaking, there are different reactions to disasters like this.
Exactly. Some people are more empathetic than others, and there are very distinct lines between genders. Your wife or your girlfriend might say, oh my gosh, these poor Sandy victims or Katrina victims, they've lost everything. But the guy might say, they had plenty of warning. Why didn't they just get out? Researchers don't yet know why women are generally more empathetic than men, but we can speculate. In animal studies, females seem to be more sensitive to oxytocin, which is an essential hormone for social attachment, inducing calmness and a nurturing behavior. Males produce more of the hormone vasopressin, which also encourages affection, but with anxiety and alertness to the threat. So these neurochemicals are shaping the way you respond, even when you're watching the images on TV.
Now, following the earthquake in Haiti and in many other cases, including this one, there are plenty of opportunities to reach deep in your pocket and donate. What triggers this intense spirit of giving?
The intense interest in disasters, it's not just a matter of self-preservation. We're also built to connect with other people and share their emotions. When someone looks frightened, our eyebrows also rise in fear, often without being aware of it. When we see a child's face twisted up in anguish on television, we make the same face. And doing so actually causes us to feel sorry, too, and to feel empathy. When we see someone else in pain, it activates this pain-sensitive regions of our brains. And so this emotional contagion happens not just during disasters, but anytime we're with other people. You smile at me, I smile back. And that happens even when you see this stuff on television. And that's the key. People want to reach out and do something. And that's why it's important to act on that instinct and actually help people.
If you feel like you need to unplug at some point, if it's getting you down, then obviously you would want to do so. But your bottom line is it's not unhealthy to keep up with news events like this.
Exactly. It's not unhealthy. You don't want to let it interfere with your life, with your ability to do your job and to pay attention to your family and what's going on in your present situation. Don't watch it 24 hours a day, but do let yourself understand what's going on, respond to the images and the stories that you're seeing, and have honest, genuine emotional reactions, but also know when to sort of cut it off and walk away from it and do something else.
Eric Adams is senior editor at Men's Health.